Hayes Permar sitting in because it's a holiday week, and that's usually what happens. Victoria producing. That was Austin Deluce, a Winston-Salem native. Played at Wake Forest, now in the Triangle, giving a little soccer analysis. Longtime player for NCFC here in Raleigh. But we've got another, not Winston-Salem native, but Winston-Salem resident? Or are you technically like just outside Winston-Salem?
I'm just outside. I'm halfway between, so I can go in either direction, Greensboro or Winston-Salem.
So you're just a triad guy?
Strategically placed.
Do you claim one or the other?
Well, it is amazing to me how, I think from where my house is, I'm in Oak Ridge. Hello, Oak Ridge. It's about 5 minutes further to Winston-Salem, and just because of that, we're like, we never went to Winston-Salem before I started working out there. And it was always like Greensboro, everything, and so I'm like, Winston-Salem, it's like a whole other city. We get to discover it, and like, oh, there are restaurants. Oh my gosh, look at the buildings. Like, it's that kind of a vibe now that we go out there.
It's been on the come up. He is Jeremy Markovich of the NC Rabbit Hole, just turned 2 years old a couple days ago. My subscription just turned 1 year old today. I thought that was a fun workout. Look, it's a Thanksgiving week. If you want us to break down the defense that NC State should play to best contain Drake May, then sorry. Adam Gold will be back next week, and he can tell you like what happened. Like we'll be on there. But if you know, when Hayes Permar fills in, we talk life and sports. We have some fun. If you want to call in and talk, you can. But on a Thanksgiving week, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to talk a little bit of Thanksgiving, and we're just going to get a little loose here. Play some Christmas music, even if it makes people mad, and that's what we'll do. So we're going to have some of that fun with Jeremy Markovich. That's part of the reason we brought him here today. Tell us what the NC Rabbit Hole is, where the concept came from, and maybe even where it's going.
So I've been in North Carolina for about 17 years. Wow. And I'm originally from Ohio, lived in West Virginia for a little while, and made my way down here. And for a while was a reporter covering local news in Charlotte, then moved to Greensboro and worked for Our State Magazine for about 6.5 years and was a writer and reporter and podcast host there. And really, this just kind of grew out of that. It's like I've been all over North Carolina. I get to go through that job. I got to go literally from the westernmost point of the state all the way to the Outer Banks. It's like 500 miles of state. It's a big state. And so I have a love of absurdity. And so I will see things and I'm like my niche, what I like to write about is like, this thing is very inconsequential. What if I took it very seriously?
Sure.
What if I was like one of the stories was, hey, I saw this picture of Steven Spielberg from 30 years ago on the set of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade wearing a North Carolina Highway Patrol hat. What's up with that? And so I was like, I should make it my mission to figure this out. And eventually, with a lot of help, did. I found the guy who gave him the hat. So those are the kind of stories that like end up being a lot of fun. And I get to chase them down. And I do it at ncrabbithole.com like once a week. And it's been fun. It's just like no story is too dumb for me to look into. It's a very low bar of
sure.
entry.
The stakes are low, yeah. But always entertaining. It's a free subscription. You could subscribe for free and get a weekly newsletter. You can always follow them on Twitter at DefinitelyInane or at NC Rabbit Hole. Or, like me, if you find it so interesting that you care to support it, you can do that as well and sign up for over at his Substack. I'll say that you're interest in North Carolina and your elevation to one of North Carolina's great storytellers came before the NC Rabbit Hole. As you mentioned, you've worked a couple different places, but you have a special gift of not discovering things because they already exist. They're there. Some people know about them, but I think, you know, bringing things that not many people know about to then, because I've followed you, I see the path to like, now everybody knows about these things, but not everybody knows that Jeremy was the person that kind of got the ball rolling on them. I think of like, what's the, and now the name's escaping me, Frying Pan Shoals,
the tower
out there, right? I think I've been in the state my whole life. I've gone to Wilmington, I've taken field trips, and my parents have taken me to state parks, and I've been to all kinds of places, you know? And partly that happens naturally now on social media. Even sometimes you're tipped off by, oh, the TikTokers are finding some crazy little spot in North Carolina. I'm going to explain the story, but instantly, I had never heard of Frying Pan Shoals, and then by the next hurricane, it was the the logo of the Hurricane was Frying Pan Shoals. And so I just feel like you have a knack, a gift for finding things that you find interesting. You describe them passionately in a way that then other people find interesting and entertaining as well. So to give his sports bona fides, I would like to point out that he is an author recognized in the it's one of the best gifts. If you're a sports fan, you should put on your Christmas list every year. It's an easy one for your mom or grandma or whoever likes to get you a book. It's the great, it's the best American sports writing blank, whatever year it was. Yeah. And they've been doing it for 20 so years now.
A long time. Yeah,
I think I got one that was the best American sports writing. Yeah, it may even go back like 50 or 60 or 70 years. Or there may have been different versions of it. I think I got one that was the best American sports writing of the century at the turn of the century. And they put one out every year. And you were in the 2014. So you are technically one of the best American sports writers. What did you write about in 2014 that that won that award?
Dick Trickle. I wrote about Dick Trickle. This is the thing. It's like if you don't even have to be a NASCAR person. I think you had to just grow up in the 90s and watch enough SportsCenter to know that his name became a running joke, right? Like, so it was the whole deal about Dick Trickle is Dick Trickle, fantastic driver. Like literally a guy that a lot of people have never heard of, or if you've heard of him, you've heard of him because he came into NASCAR at the end of his career. Like sure. He was sort of just like not coasting into retirement, but he was just kind of, it was kind of the cherry on top of the cupcake. Like it was really a moment where he just was having a good time. But Dick Trickle, his real name, like people would ask him why do people call you Dick? And he's like, well, my parents named me Richard. And then there would be like a long, awkward pause. But like, you know, Dick Trickle basically cut his teeth on the short tracks of Wisconsin, became this amazing driver back in like the 70s when you could make a living going from if you were good enough, going from like short track to short track on like Friday, Saturday nights in Wisconsin and winning every race, which is what he did. Like you could not beat Dick Trickle on a short track. And from there, ended up going to NASCAR, and I think in his late 40s, when in his first season in NASCAR, wins Rookie of the Year, which then became this hilarious joke of like he's like, I'd like to just thank you know all these young up and comers like me, you sure. know, and then became somebody who kind of had he was a middle of the pack, end of the pack sort of thing, and ended up living out his life in Iron Station. So it was in North Carolina.
Where is Iron Station, North
Carolina?
It's
near Lincolnton. It's kind of west of Charlotte a little bit, and yeah, I wrote this big story about him. About 9-10 years ago about his life because tragically he had taken his own life at the end of his life and was just about really about this guy just not getting sort of the respect that he deserved. I mean, when you talk to guys who know NASCAR, they would be like, yeah, Dick Trickle was like, he's up there with Andretti. He's up there with, you know, like
you can drive a car.
Petty. I mean, the dude could drive, but you just never heard of him because he stayed on the short tracks because back in the day, that was a solid investment. If you go to NASCAR, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you won't win as much.
Like, and he probably had to move and live where he didn't want to live.
You may not have that steady money coming in. So.
Well, and for me and for a lot of sports fans my age, you like Dick Trickle almost was the essence of what that 90s Sports Center was, right? Where they went from not just being sportscasters who told you what the score was and what happened. They were entertaining you along the way. And so I think it was Dan Patrick, if not Patrick and Olbermann, but they would give you the NASCAR race. They'd show you what happened. They'd show you the top 10 or whatever, and they'd tell you how to affect the points. And then at the end of the package, you'd be like, and Dick Trickle finished 17th or whatever it was. And it was almost like, is that a real driver, or are they just trying to slip a name past their producer? And of course, he was a very real driver. But until this is before I even knew you, I 100% had no idea the depth of Dick Trickle until I read that piece. Your other also because you, I've, my one knock on you is you're a little. You're a little Eastern North Carolina light. Like I know you get here all the time, but you've lived in Charlotte and you now live in the Triad, right? And so, like, at some point, we're gonna have to get you a job in Raleigh, and then maybe even like Wilson or something, or Kinston somewhere.
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have to with the T. All right, with the T, so, you know your way around. But to show people your sports and your triangle bona fides, please tell me about your unique encounter with the legendary Mike Krzyzewski recently.
Okay, so this was a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago, and I was still working for Iowa State Magazine. I was over at Duke, university to talk to a professor over there about a story I was working on.
Totally unrelated.
Totally
nothing
unrelated.
To do
nothing
with
to do with sports. Nothing like that.
With Coach K.
And so I was talking to him, and he's like, "You ever been here before?" And I was like, "No. This is you should walk around. You should go to Joe Van Gogh. You should go check out the chapel." Like, okay, yeah. So took a lap around Duke, and I was like, "This is nice." And on the way back to my car, I was walking up that staircase right next to Cameron Indoor. And there's that parking lot, sort of upper parking lot behind the arena. And I'm just walking. There's nobody else around. And I hear a door open. I turn around, and out comes Coach K. And he's got the Duke polo shirt on. He's carrying a couple things. And he has a paper cup of coffee in his hand. And he did this thing that if you drink enough coffee over time, this will happen to you. He tripped a little bit. And reflexively, his hands kind of pinched, like, you know, like a lobster.
Sure.
And the pop. The top popped off, and coffee goes all over him, all over his shirt. So he looks down at his shirt, and then he looks up and around and is like, did anybody see that? And he looks over, and the only person standing there is me. And so I'm looking at him. He looks at me. And in that moment, I just looked at him, and I said, I'm like, "Hey, Coach K." And he looks at me, and I was like, "Can I get a picture with you?" And he looks at me like I have, like, five heads. He's just like, why would you ask me now if we could get a picture?" And so he says, "Hey, you know, now's not a good moment. I have coffee dripping off my shirt. Also, it's not really what I do. I don't really take pictures with random people in parking lots." And I was like, "Actually, I understand that. Like, you know, now you can get photobombed by a lot of people you don't suspect. Like, I get it." I was like, "Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, and you're having a bad moment. I don't want to do that." And I was like, "Well, see you later." I turn around, start walking away. As I'm walking away, I have this satchel on with a bunch of my equipment in it, and the strap breaks, crashes to the ground. And I'm like, "Ugh, did anybody see that?" And of course, the only person that saw that is Coach K. And so we both lock eyes again, and I was like, "I guess this is karma, right? Like, this is just what happens for me asking you for a picture of the bad time." He's like, "Yeah, but, you know, don't worry about it. It's cool." I was like, "All right, see you later." He's like, "Bye." And I was walking back to my car. I'm like, "Are we friends now? Like,
you had a moment.
Do we just have a connection?" And I'm loading my stuff into my car. I'm still processing this, and I'm getting in. And as I'm getting into my car, I hear something behind me, and it's this big vehicle. Turn around. There's this Cadillac Escalade behind me, and behind the wheel is Coach K, and he's like, "Hey, again, I wanted to tell you something. You're about to drive off with a cup of coffee on top of your car." And I was like, "Oh, of course I am. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, yeah, I'm just one of these days." He's like, "Yeah, man, I know." He's like, "You know something? When I was at the military academy and I was a cadet, I used to leave my hat on top of my car all the time. I would put it in my car, and I would drive off and go flying off." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm like, this just happens sometimes." He goes, "Yeah, you know, I guess we all just have too much on our minds." And I was like, "Yeah, we do, I guess. Well, bye. See you later." I got my car, and I'm just like, "No, we're definitely friends now. Like, we're going to hang out."
Coach K, like, that has got to be the most...
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Unassuming, the most normal, everyday human interaction that anybody's ever had with Coach K.
Yeah.
Because, like, at this point, he's one of those. I think of, like, John Mulaney did the stand-up talking about... Mick Jagger, who,
yeah.
Another person who you've not really crossed paths with, but
he hasn't
but
replied story. To me, yeah.
But he just talks about how Mick Jagger's doesn't live a normal life because he says Diet Coke and one appears in his hand, right?
Yeah.
Like, Coach K at this point, not that he's an elitist, but just his world is done so differently than anybody else's that, like, he doesn't have that many moments. Like, he probably doesn't carry his own coffee too often, right?
Yeah.
To spill his coffee. And how often is he driving by and stops other drivers to warn them of things, the hazards that might be left outside their car? So.
And tell some story, too, about, like, you know.
That he did the same
in
thing.
In college. And I was like, why? Like, when I was reminded of this, like, why did I, like, jump at the chance to get a picture with him? I'm not usually that kind of person. And then I realized, oh, I know exactly why. My wife is a when she went to UNC, she is a very level-headed, lovely person. But then when she watches like the UNC Duke game, it is like she becomes like it turns into like a werewolf. Like, it becomes crazy.
Yes.
And like I learned, you can't even make the joke. Like, you know, whatever you say about Coach K, he's a good coach. Like, she made me apologize for having been born after I made that joke. And I was like, the thing that I think I really want most in this world is for her to look at her phone and open it up and see a text from me and then open the text and see my smiling face next to Coach K and to figure out how to emotionally process that. How do you deal with that, seeing the person that is your husband next to the person that you hate?
You don't seem like a picture guy. I'm not either. I am a story guy. Like, what you got is better than any picture. I know it's not, I know it can't be preserved on Instagram or whatever, but like, I am much rather I would rather talk for 2 minutes to whoever the person is than to have a picture. And like, I don't need anybody else to know that I met them. I know, right? I've had a couple brief interactions, like, you know, I've gone through airport security with the Fonz, right?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't ask him for a picture. Like, I talked to the Fonz and told him I respected all his work, right? So I think it worked out perfectly in the way that it did, that you didn't get your picture, but you did get your story.
Yes.
So he is Jeremy Markovich from the North Carolina Rabbit Hole. We're going to do some sports, okay? It's a holiday week. Just deal with it.
You talked about Coach K. It's sports.
That's right.
It's
Coach fun. K and Dick Trickle,
yes,
in one segment.
Sports.
All right. How about some relevant sports? The Panthers are bad.
Oh, do we have to talk about them, though?
Yes, but in a good way.
I'm a Panthers fan.
We're going to take them from being bad and say, if you're going to be bad, what do we at least ask of you? Be entertaining.
Right.
We've got ideas for the bizarro Panthers and how they can make the rest of the season just a little more entertaining. We'll share those with you next. Are you trying to find Thanksgiving songs?
Yes, that was.
I heard Sweet Potato Pie. Is this... I feel like I've got a version of this song. Is this Ray Charles?
It is.
It's a duet.
James Taylor.
It's a duet. I've got this album. It's a whole Ray Charles duet album.
Yeah.
And it's actually a pretty good. Well done. We'll count Sweet Potato Pie as a Thanksgiving song.
Okay, good.
We'll see how many more she can conjure up throughout the course of the day. That is Victoria producing. I'm Hayes Permar filling in on the Adam Gold Show. And Jeremy Markovich is sitting in with us. Does that make more work for you, Victoria, now? Because these days, we have turned the radio producers here into television producers as well.
Oh, yeah. Podcast,
as you know,
extraordinaire.
Through web stream. But so normally, I'm just sitting in here. There's cameras I see at Jeremy.
Yes.
Do you now have to press more buttons, or do the cameras take care of themselves?
I have 10 arms. Dude. And
I literally produced radio from that room, and there was like three fewer screens, and like you've got a whole nother side panel now.
It's a spaceship in here. All the buttons and the monitors and
I'd be like the guy who, like, at some point I worked at a newspaper, and everybody was like, "Oh, you can just, you know, if you're at a game, you can just email the story in, or you can just, you know, load it to the website." And one guy was like, he was writing out his articles, taking a picture and then like emailing it in for like somebody, and he'd been there long enough that they did it for him. Like, that might be me at some point with the technology keeps coming up. All right. The Carolina Panthers are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad.
Yeah.
Markovich, have you been to a game this year?
I have not. No.
Did you give them a chance? Like, did you start the season watching and your interest has waned, or did you know they were going to be bad and you were like, not even worth my time this year?
I was just like, basically the Panthers kind of fall into this category for me, whereas like they are something that I can have on in the background while I do other things.
So sure.
They have kind of entered into sort of like podcast realm.
But that doesn't change even if they're bad. Like even if they're the 2015 Panthers and now all of a sudden they're great. Are you at that point? Are you making time to actually like watch them?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And full disclosure, I was actually I used to produce the Panthers like post game show when I lived in Charlotte. So
okay.
I was like for 8 seasons I was there. So I was there when they were really bad, and we're like, hey, they've won one game this season. I don't think they're going to win more. What are we going to talk about this week? And it's like, well, you know, struggle to overcome adversity, you know, really evaluating these guys and see what's going to happen next.
Yes.
To like 2015, which we're just like. Like, it's easy to, I'm like, I'm just going to sit back and just kind of, I'll relax. I'll just, you know, what are we going to put in the show? Like, well, isn't it obvious? Like, yeah, it kind of is. Okay, we're done.
We'll do a cam highlight and then maybe the Spanish language call of that highlight.
Yes, yeah.
And show's good. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
But this year, the Panthers need a little more help. Maybe it's another quarterback that they'll find somewhere. Maybe it's the rest of the NFC South to collapse, which it seemed to be trying to do for a while, though I know a couple teams won this week. But right now, Jeremy is going to give us some of the bizarro Panther scenarios that could occur for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So I want to play a little game here.
Okay.
I've played this game before, never actually on live the air. Radio. So okay. this is the first time I'm like thrilled to do this. So basically what this game is, it's called a hot take for every potential Panther scenario.
Okay.
So the way that it works is this. I will give you a scenario and then I want you to give me a hot take about that scenario. And then the whole idea was like, hey, if you wanted to go on vacation, you could just stockpile these. And so when they happen, you could just play them. And then, you know, these are going to start off fairly regular.
Okay.
They're going to get more absurd.
Something that could, in theory, happen.
Could, in theory, happen.
To stuff that, like, most likely will not, but we still won't close the door
on
the
you're not going to close the door on it. So I have a list here. I'm just going to start out with one that could plausibly happen.
Okay.
So the scenario is this. Sam Darnold becomes the starter again. Panthers go undefeated.
Ooh, that's great. Maybe we should look at getting more Jets quarterbacks and trading for Zach Wilson next year.
Just stockpile as many
Jets, as many former Jet quarterbacks that were taken in the first round as we can.
Ken O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just go way back. Like Joe Namath.
Go get him. Wasn't Geno Smith on the Jets at one point?
Yeah.
Like it works for somebody else. Like, yes, we've already got Sam Darnold. He's good now. So let's not even get him. Let's go for the next potential Jets rebuilding project.
East Rutherford, New Jersey, the cradle of quarterbacks.
Yes. Let's go get one. Zach Wilson. He's got to be cheap now. We'll only probably have to give up a second and a fifth rounder to get him.
Sam Darnold can show Zach Wilson the way.
Exactly.
He had to pave the road.
He can mentor him.
So he could drive on.
And we'll be willing to devote another, three seasons for Zach. We don't need to see it in the first season or two. If Sam Darnold can get it done this year, there's no reason to think that Now I've forgotten his name off the top of my head.
Right?
Zach Wilson. There's no reason to believe
he can't do it
in 2025.
So he's so good that he's instantly forgettable in the middle of a sentence. That happens. Okay, Sam Darnold regains the starting position, and the Panthers lose every game for the rest of the season.
I already burned my go get another Jets quarterback, didn't I?
Gonna need more of those Jets guys.
This is almost like a real thing. I'm trying to like play along, but I'm like, go get Cam Newton.
Yeah.
If Sam Darnold is that bad, we've gone through everybody. Go back to square one, right? Go back to the beginning. If we can't get anybody better, you have to go back to the default. It's just Cam Newton.
Superman.
What was the most memorable moment of last season?
When he came back.
It was not the 3-0 start.
Nope.
No.
I submit to you. It was the two touchdowns in like the first quarter. Bring that back. Sam Darnold loses out. We got to go to Cam Newton.
I swear to you, my favorite quote of the entire season last season was somebody asked him how much, because he had just gotten there like 3 days before.
Yes.
And somebody's like, Cam, how much of the playbook did you learn? He's like, two touchdowns worth.
he's been every now and then for as much of a, mixed axioms, never get the exact sayings right, and sometimes then I say right. When he nails a quote, he get like the best ever live in-game quarterback. Forget all the Peyton Manning Omaha stuff. The best live in-game quarterback moment ever is Clay Matthews saying, "Watch the wheel route," because he thinks he knows the play, and Cam Newton he's called the cadence and takes the time to say, "Oh, you've been watching film? That's cool. Watch this." Throws the touchdown pass. When he nails it, nobody nails it better than Cam Newton. Two touchdowns worth. That's how much of the playbook I learned. I knew that was good.
It all rose lead to Cam Newton. Okay,
yes.
So here's my next scenario. The Panthers re-sign Cam Newton, but they do the Tim Tebow thing and make him a tight end.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
I'm totally in with it. He goes Rob Gronkowski. Like he goes Rob Gronkowski with the Buccaneers.
Uh-huh.
He's not the best tight end in the league, but at crucial moments, he catches a pass and just rumbles for 80 yards like he never could. And there's nothing to say that you can't run a reverse tight end pass, right? Like he could throw a pass two times a game. I like Cam Newton at tight end. Maybe Cam Newton should have been a tight end the whole time. Maybe that's what we were missing.
Maybe he's got the guy, like the guy from the Saints, that they just like he plays like the gadget
yes,
back.
Yes. I can't even think of his name. No, Taysom Hill. He played, yes, absolutely.
And it's like one of those things where it's like you're like, okay, we're gonna make Taysom Hill the full time quarterback, and everybody's like, Yeah. But you make him like, you know, he's like lining up at any position on the field.
It never. So Cam Newton was almost like, now I'm getting into like actual sensible sports takes. My bad. I'm devolving into actual sports radio.
Make it worse.
Like Cam Newton, if like the reality is, if a guy's a Heisman winning quarterback and he won a national championship, you're not going to be able to play him at anything but quarterback. Much like if Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in the league, you need to treat him like a number one running back and give him 25 touches a game, right? 20 to 25 touches a game to win, right? But the reality of both those guys is if you could use them more gadgety, like Cam Newton never would have gone for it, and you can't really run a team that way. But there's a chance that for 12 years we could have gotten that magic spread out and had him contribute to more good teams rather than, you know, crash and burn almost like 3 or 5 years of just intense awesomeness. But meanwhile, every one of those injuries and dings is making it that much harder for him to do that type of stuff. So.
Yeah, I think I'm embracing sort of like the Bugs Bunny theory of like. Like personnel situations, it's like, well, let's just give everybody a chance to play every position.
Yes.
Right? Like eventually you'll have like a wide receiver like cycle through it, like left guard.
100%.
You know,
Cam Newton probably could have done that.
He could have done that.
Yes. Speaking of which, we already mentioned the best American sports writing. One of the greatest articles in the best American sports writing of the year is a real baseball statistical analysis of the Bugs Bunny game. It is one of the best. It is an incredible.
That's fantastic.
It's like you said, the stakes are low, and they take it 100% serious.
And
break down the Bugs Bunny versus the Gas House Gorilla game. It is unbelievable.
This is the one where like the pitcher throws the ball and it goes so slow that like five guys get up and they just like
they all strike out.
Like, 1, 2, 3, you're out. Like that's the same one.
I mean, I want to bring up the writing is so good. He's like ignoring the baseball rules aside. He tries to take it. It's one where Bugs Bunny, somebody hits one and he takes a cab and goes to the top of the Empire State Building and catches it. And again, like this guy tries to break down all the stats and where the, you know, it is an incredible read. You need to go check it out. Sorry to derail the Panther Pizarro takes. Where are we?
Okay, where are we now? Okay, here's one. The Panthers adopt the strategy of punting on third down whenever they have the lead. So they had the lead. They know they're worried about their offense and what's going to happen. They're just like, well, you know what? I don't want to give the offense too much of a. I want them to rest. So third down, let's go ahead and punt.
Hold on. I was thinking you were saying no punting. Now we're punting on third down.
No, we punt a lot. We have a good punter. Okay. Johnny Hecker is a very good punter. I am a connoisseur of great punting. So I think they should do it more.
We play the field position. I have heard it's been surprising people that this year. Rushing is up. For years and years, it's been like we're getting away from smash mouth. We're getting closer to flag football. But now rushing is up. So I think I'm all in with that. Now, if rushing is up, field position and time are way more important than actually scoring points. So I'm like, anytime we can cough and corner the other team, absolutely go for it. Yes, I'm down for that.
That is it. There would be some kind of analytics that would tell you that punting on third down is a good play. Like that is it. Like John Fox. Analytical mind would know that punting on third down would be a good play. Let's see. What do we got here? Okay, I got one for you. Let's say the Panthers cut Eddie Pinheiro and go kickerless for the rest of the season. We decide we're just going to play bandit ball, no field goals, no extra points. We just go for it in every situation. And not to be tempted, we're going to cut our kicker and just play for keeps.
I'm down with that, except for I would like to see people attempt kicks who are not kickers at times. Like we can cut our kicker, but at some point we have to kick with all these backup quarterbacks we aren't using. I want to see Baker Mayfield kick a 35-yard field goal. That's what I want to see. So I'm fine with cutting the kicker, but I'm not fine with cutting kicking. I would like to see the kicking continue.
This is the thing. So a long time ago, Chad Ochocinco did this in a preseason game for the Bengals.
And he was not bad.
He came out and, like, ripped one right through. Like, Wes Welker, I think, was the only person to, like, score a touchdown and kick an extra point and a field goal. Because they lined him up for a field goal when he was with the Dolphins forever ago.
I want kicker to be elimination style. Like, we don't have a kicker, and once you use a guy, you can't use him anymore. So, like, he gets one attempt, and, like, eventually we'll get down to offensive linemen, you know, tight ends, cornerbacks. Like, you can only use people once.
It's like the penalty shot theory of kicking.
Yes.
Like, and so, you go in order.
And so, an extra point, you may try and get somebody who's, like, not good, but at least they can get in from, like, 15 yards. And then you get your – whoever your best skill kicker is that isn't a kicker, they're actually out there kicking 40-yard field goals.
Okay, I got another one for you. David Tepper demolishes Bank of America Stadium after the season. But then demands Charlotte build a new stadium, but then the negotiations go south, and then the Panthers have to play in a half-finished stadium. So they have to play in a construction site.
Is it in Rock Hill, or is it where is
no,
the construction
they,
site?
Let's just say, I mean, everybody thinks they're going to build it like wherever. They thought they were going to build it kind of outside the 277 loop there, like where Charlotte Pipe and Foundry used
sure.
to be. I don't know if that's going to happen now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, there was a whole theory a long time ago that they wanted to do like the Carowinds thing and build it on the North Carolina-South Carolina border with the line going right down the 50
yard line.
And people were like, we should do that. And then they were like, nah. But like, okay, let's say they're building it there and then it's half completed. And now they have to make do in some kind of like Scooby-Doo construction site.
I like thinking of a football game. You know, every now and then I try and play basketball down at the park and we try and play 4-on-4. But if we can only get threes, we play half court, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know exactly how it works. I'm like, if you bust a long run, do you just have to loop back and start coming to the end zone? Like, you hand off at the 20, you get to the 50, you just start coming back to your own end zone? Because in theory, you earn the right to go past people. But that would be hella entertaining to see half a football save. What I would like to do is if the mojo in Five County Stadium is bad, right?
Uh-huh.
So especially if they have a construction site, come on, we can't play on that.
Mm-hmm.
Take it on over to Clemson's Memorial Stadium. That's where they started. And the mojo is good there. Or you could even, how many home games we got left? 4 or 5?
Yeah, just a handful.
Take a college tour, like hit Keenan Stadium, hit Dowdy Ficklin, hit Carter Finley. Like these places give a great tailgate. They don't, most of the times, they don't care if they're going to win or they wouldn't still be coming to State and Carolina and ECU football games, right? They would have given up years ago. So they could still have a great game day atmosphere. We'll leave the construction site for Tepper to clean up and we're going to go on a college tour.
Yeah, this is like the Carolina Cougars ABA theory.
Yeah, exactly.
Of thing. We're like, we're going to play like in 5 cities.
The state's too spread out. The population base is too spread out in North Carolina. We got to hit them all.
We got to get them all. That's like the Dusty Rhodes kind of a like Southern, David Crockett Productions style.
Yes.
of running a football team. Like, you get to Dusty, like, we're going to go to Nacogdoches. And then Decatur, Georgia, and then on up to Greensboro.
Yes.
So yeah, you could kind of do that.
I like it.
I don't know from a business standpoint it'd be great, but you could in theory do that.
All right.
Do we have time for how many more?
Do one more.
Got one more. Okay. Yeah. Let me look for the best one on this list. This one is just because I like seeing dumpster fires. The Panthers hire Urban Meyer.
Man, I'm like, how the heck do we? Why do we hire Urban Meyer? Another college coach? We just saw it didn't work out. What's going on with that? But no, I want to be Urban Meyer is a proven winner. Can he bring in Tebow? Can we bring in
Yes.
Can we bring in some more former Florida players? From Ohio State is Cardale Williams. Who else can we get?
You can go way back.
Urban Meyer's going to have to, David Tepper is going to have to pay Urban Meyer a lot of money, and I think he's okay with that. But you know what? I'm fine with Urban Meyer because it'll make it that much easier to root against the Panthers. I wasn't rooting against Matt Rhule. He seems like a nice guy. I don't hate him. Tepper is becoming a guy that you like. When he comes in and acts like he's smarter than everyone, and he says things like, I brought music to Charlotte. And I know he misspoke, and I know what he meant, and it was, you know, like, he has put on more concerts, but it just starts to make him a little more easy to not root for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, let him have Urban Meyer, and now it's much easier to say, I'll be pulling for somebody else.
So you basically what you're saying is you would like the Panthers, like, right now they're somewhere in a shade of gray.
Go full heel mode?
You would like
mode?
To be black or white.
Go
like,
heel mode.
I am not going to watch them at all, or I am dialed into 100%, but I don't want to be like, the Panthers, they're kind of good and they're bad. They're like a 40-degree day.
Yep.
Like, no, you want them to be just all or nothing.
It's like the Hornets' record every year. It's getting you nowhere.
Yeah.
You're too gray. You need to either be bad or be good. I wouldn't hate a Panthers heel turn. I wouldn't be pulling for them, but it may be good for the NFL. They could play that interesting villain role like some teams have over the years.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, like, at this point in the season, I really feel like, you've kind of made up your mind about Steve Wilkes one way or the other, I think. You're not, you might sneak into the playoffs because the NFC South is just what it is. But I really hope that the Panthers embrace what I'm going to call sort of like the hobo with a knife theory, in that, like, let's say you are riding the train from Greensboro to Charlotte, which you should definitely do. The train in North Carolina is awesome. But you are sitting there, you're reading, you know, the newspaper, like, because it's 1940, and you are, all of a sudden the door opens, and in the doorway is a hobo with a knife. And you have to decide, how do I approach, what do I do in this situation? Is this person a threat? Are they just looking for a place to sit? Are they going to go crazy on the train? Like, what's going to happen on this train? And I think if the Panthers were just, like, embraced some of these things, were like, you're gonna sign Cam Newton and make him a tight end.
Yes.
If you're gonna say, you know, Deontay Foreman, like, why don't you play linebacker? Let's just see what that's like.
Let's,
like,
do it.
Let's do weird stuff. Like, what do you have to lose? And also, it would be extremely fun if the team that comes out every single week is so completely different than the week before.
Yes.
That, how do you game plan for that? Like, if you're Bill Belichick, like, master tactician, how do you game plan when you don't know if the Panthers are just going to line up 11 offensive linemen on offense and just go rugby style and push it down, or just run the wishbone one week? Because why not? Like, if it's good enough for a service academy, it's good enough for the Panthers.
Be fun, be different, be interesting. If you're going to be bad, at least entertain us.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.